authority. They refused to see him as God, as their ultimate authority. They refused to see him as the Messiah. And at the root of it all, and again, this is what I need you to hear today. I'm begging you, I'm imploring you to hear today. At the root of it all was pride. It was pride. You see, in order to put yourself under the authority of someone else, right? Think about this. You have to have some humility, don't you? In order to believe that somebody actually deserves to be in authority over you, you have to have some level of humility. You have to put yourself second to them. You have to allow them to have authority over you. And you have to trust, and this is so critical, you have to actually trust that that person that you are allowing to have authority over you actually has your best interest in mind. That if you let them lead you, if you let them have control and authority over your life, that your life will actually be better because of it, rather than you being in control and you being in authority. See, Jesus, he showed over and over again. I mean, he showed out. He showed out over and over again. He showed them all the evidence that they needed. It wasn't an evidence issue. They didn't need more evidence. They needed less pride. Let me say that again. They didn't need more evidence. They needed less pride. You see, at the heart of Jesus' message to those Pharisees, to the people in the temple, to everybody who was watching and paying attention in Jerusalem and who had paid attention to his entire ministry, the message to the world today that we are living in, to you and I, 2,000 years later, is that it is only when we humble ourselves, it is only when we lay down our pride, it is only when we admit that we are in need of a Savior and submit, and I mean really submit to his authority, that we actually get to enter into the blessings that he has to offer. See, just a few days later, this happens on a Wednesday, just 2 days later, this would be on full display in the most startling and unbelievable way. You see, 2 days later, Jesus would go to the cross. And as he hung there on that cross, dying for the sin of the world, there were two other men that hung on crosses right next to him. And I think it's sometimes easy to forget about these two guys. But again, the symbolism of these two men, one of the Gospels tells us that they were thieves. They were criminals on these crosses. The symbolism of what happens in a very brief moment that Luke describes here in his gospel, in Luke chapter 23, is startling and powerful, and I don't want you to miss it today. This is what happened. This is the account that Luke tells of these two criminals. It says, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. So Jesus is on the cross. He's dying. He's dying for the sin of the world. He's completely innocent. He's done nothing wrong. And one of these criminals starts hurling insults at him. I mean, hurling, it says. Throwing insults at him, left and right. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself. Save yourself. And while you're at it, save us too. You know what's the craziest thing about this whole situation here with this first criminal, this first thief, is that he calls out Jesus, asking him to save him, right? To if you're really God, if you're really Messiah, go ahead and get yourself right off of that cross and get yourself off with me. But what is so ironic, the crazy thing is, in not saving himself, think about the insanity of this. In Jesus not saving himself while he was on the cross, he was saving all of humanity. In not saving that thief on the cross next to him in that moment, he was actually saving him. That blows my mind. That is the truth of what happened on the cross. And so you have this first thief who calls out Jesus in his pride. He's a criminal. He's got no reason for Jesus to save him. And yet in his pridefulness, in his lack of humility, he believes, get me off of here. I don't deserve this. Now, I want you to contrast that. It is a stark contrast between thief number one and thief number two. This is what it says starting in verse 40. But the other criminal, this is the other thief now, he rebuked him. He rebuked the other criminal. He says, "Don't you fear God? Since you are under the same sentence, you are a criminal. You deserve to be up on this cross." He says, "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he looked at Jesus and he said this, "Jesus, remember me. Please remember me when you come into your kingdom." And then the most unbelievable thing of all is what Jesus said next. Jesus answered him. He said, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Again, don't miss this today. The first thief, he clung to his pride just like the Pharisees. He did not believe that he deserved to be up there. He wanted off that cross. He pointed his finger at Jesus and he said, "Get me down." There was a complete lack of humility. There was this pride still welling up inside of him. And then there was this second man, the second criminal. And he took the complete opposite approach. He laid down his pride. He admitted his sin and he recognized that Jesus was his Messiah, that he was God, that he was his ultimate authority, and he begged for forgiveness. He said, "Please remember me when you enter in to the kingdom." And what's most astonishing of all is that Christ immediately redeems him here in this moment. Think about the insanity of this. This is a criminal. This is a man who has probably spent his entire life doing everything that he should not have done, going against everything that God calls us to do and God's standards. And Jesus says, "You will be with me in paradise. I forgive you." And it wasn't his works, right? He was a criminal. He didn't have any time to do any good works. He had no time to do anything good. No, it was his humble posture. It was the humility of his heart. The one thief on the cross got it, and the other thief and the Pharisees, they did not. And what I need you to hear today, what I so badly want you to hear, is that the one thing that will change everything is you laying down your pride. You laying down your pride. This is what Jesus is after. This is a message that he was trying to get people to understand for his entire ministry. The one thing that Jesus is after is for you to lay down your pride, admit that you need him, submit to his authority. In fact, I would argue it's the most important thing that he is after in your life. You and me surrendering to him, laying down our pride so that, and this is why this is so important, he can do in us and through us what he does best. It comes down to pride. When we lay down our pride, it changes everything. And I mean everything. It's the only way that we receive salvation, right? Pride is what keeps us, is what keeps people. It might be right now what is keeping you from experiencing salvation, because in order to experience that, you have to admit that you need him. It is pride that is keeping us from that. It's the only way that we receive his wisdom, right? Pride puffs us up. It makes us believe that we already know everything, that we already have all the answers. It makes us arrogant, and arrogant people do not seek the wisdom of God. We have to lay down our pride. It's the only way that we experience his power in our life. Pride will make us rely on our own strength. It makes us rely on our own works. It makes us feel like our works are what make us righteous, right? But when you think about it, our works, our strength, it's nothing but, it's weak. It is pathetic compared to the power of Christ, compared to the Holy Spirit that he gives us when we put our faith in him. Pride ruins all of those things. It will keep us from salvation. It will keep us from his wisdom. It will keep us from living in his power on a day-to-day basis. We won't grow. We won't learn. We won't get better. Nothing will change as long as we are living in that pride. This is why he calls out the Pharisees. And I believe he calls us out in the same way today. The more we admit our brokenness, guys, the more we admit that, the more that Jesus can do with us. The more we lay down our pride, the more he can do with our lives. I once heard a story about this captain of this battleship who was out one day at sea, and it was this really cold, dark night, and it was foggy, and they could barely see like 10 feet in front of them. And the captain, all of a sudden, off in the distance, he saw this really bright light. And he realized, like, there's a ship coming at us. And so he got on the horn and he sent out this message to the other ship saying, hey, like, we are coming straight at you. You need to move 20 degrees north so that we don't run into each other. And just a few seconds later, the other person responded back. And they said, hey, listen, you know, you guys need to move. Like, you need to move 20 degrees north. We're not the ones who are going to move. You need to move. And when the captain heard that, he immediately thought to himself, like, okay, like, I responded out. I reached out to you first. You need to move. Right? And so he gets back on the horn. And this time he starts to try to use his authority a little bit. He says, I'm a captain. And I'm telling you, you need to move 20 degrees north or we are going to crash into each other. Again, a few seconds later, the other person on the other side came back and said, hey, I'm a second-class seaman, and you need to move 20 degrees north. Now, at this, the captain was just infuriated. I mean infuriated. Who does he think he is? Right? I'm a captain. And so he gets back on the horn one last time, and he says, listen, I'm a captain, and I am commanding a battleship, and you had better move. And finally, the second-class seaman on the other side responded and said, listen, I'm a lighthouse, and I am telling you that you had better move 20 degrees to the north. See, this is the truth today, guys. Don't miss this. Jesus is the lighthouse. He is trying so hard to direct our lives. He is trying so hard to help us understand that when we submit to his authority, when we yield to his authority, he is keeping us from going down a path of destruction. He wants a better life for us. He wants salvation for us. He wants to change everything about our lives that isn't good. He wants to give us a joy and a hope and a peace, but it will never happen unless we yield to him, unless we submit to him. And like that captain who was commanding that battleship, this is how I feel like most of us, most of the time. No, I'm in control. I want to be in control of my own life. I'm the authority here. I'm the ultimate authority. I'm in power here. And the Pharisees, that's exactly how they thought. And all along, there's this lighthouse. And it's trying to get our attention. It's trying to tell us, no, you need to move. You need to take a different course. Because if you keep going down this path, it is going to lead to nothing but destruction. And so as we close today, here's the challenge that I want to lay down for all of us this week. Lay down your pride. Submit to his authority and follow him with everything that you have and watch how it changes everything. To those who might be listening or watching today who do not believe, who maybe you've heard about Jesus, you've heard about, you know, what it means to follow him, you've heard about some of his commands and some of the ways that he challenges us to live. Here's my question to you. How long are you going to reject his authority? How long are you going to reject his authority? My pleading with you today is this: accept his gift of grace. He is offering you salvation through what he has done on the cross. It starts with laying down your pride and admitting that you actually even need that, with admitting that you have sin, that we all have sin that needs to be dealt with. And the only way it gets dealt with is through what he did on the cross. He is that sacrificial Passover lamb that we talked about last week, and we so desperately need him. And then as you submit, or as you admit that, then submit your life to him moving forward. Right? These are the two things we do. We admit and then we submit. We admit and submit. Admit and submit. We admit that we are a sinner and we need him, and then we submit our lives to him, giving him full and complete control, full access to our lives to lead us wherever he wants us to go, being obedient to whatever he calls us to do with our life. And I'm imploring you today, don't wait until it's too late. Don't wait until that ship that you are commanding, the ship that you are on in life, crashes in to the side of a cliff. The lighthouse is screaming out, crying out for you to turn, to follow him, and to allow him to change your life. Don't wait. Make today the day. But then, Jesus followers, my Jesus followers who are listening, who are watching, I want to ask you a question too. How long are we going to say that we submit? How long are we going to say that we submit to his authority and then live in disobedience? Because I think for many of us, this is a huge thing. I believe we're living in a Christian culture today where a lot of people say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. But when push comes to shove, the obedience that is supposed to follow that, the submission to his authority in every aspect of our lives, doesn't always follow. You see, we love the grace part, right? We love that Jesus offers us the gift of salvation through grace alone, through what he did on the cross, that it isn't by works, that we don't have to perform, that we'll never be good enough, and that's okay because he was good enough for us. We love that part, but then I think what happens to so many of us is we take advantage of the grace that God gives us. We take advantage of that. And what I want to challenge you with today is this. We can't receive the grace of God and not completely and 100% be sold out for following him with everything that we have. If we're going to receive his grace, then we also have to submit to his authority. And so I'm going to get real. I'm going to get raw with you here for a second. And I'm going to get up in your grill a little bit. And as I preach this to you, believe me, I am preaching it to myself. Because there are areas where I need to work on this as well. But if we are greedy, if we are money hungry, if we are not generous people, we need to submit. Jesus calls us to be generous. If we are lustful, if we have wandering eyes, if we are engaging in impure thoughts and impure things in this life, Jesus calls us to a life of purity. If we are hypocritical, if we say one thing, but we do the opposite of that, if we say we're a believer, but we don't live like it, we got to change. We got to do everything we can to completely submit to his authority in our lives. If we're selfish, if we're unforgiving, if we're unloving, it is time to make it right. And yes, this is the amazing thing about grace. When we mess up, when we do sin, and we will, there's grace that covers that. Jesus covers it all. He covers all of our sin. But at the end of the day, our responsibility is to do everything that we can to follow him with everything that we have. The thing that Jesus could not stand more than anything else with the Pharisees was this attitude of hypocrisy and self-righteousness. The religious elite's hypocrisy with which they lived. To claim that you are a follower of Christ and to claim that you are going to follow his authority and then not submit to it and just keep on living the way that you lived before you knew Christ, that is hypocrisy on the highest level. Jesus was calling it out in these Pharisees, in these religious elite, and I believe he's still calling it out today. Guys, on a completely practical level, do you want better relationships? Do you? Do you want a better marriage? Do you want to be a better parent? Do you want a better friendships? Guys, do you want to have better decision-making in your life? Do you want to make better decisions financially? Again, in your relationships, in your job, just with crises and challenges that you're faced with, times when you don't know what to do? You want to make better decisions? Do you simply want a better life? If you are already a Jesus follower, you have received the amazing gift of the life to come, the eternity that is to come. But if you are a Jesus follower, you also have received this gift of having somebody in authority over your life who is powerful and good. You see, that's what happens when we put our trust in Christ and we allow him to be the authority over our lives. We're not just putting our authority in somebody who has no power, who is going to use that power to rule over us in a negative way. No, he uses and leverages his authority, his power to do good things in our life. That's what he does. And so today, again, I'm imploring you, Jesus followers, whatever area of your life right now, and I'm sure that there's something that's coming to your mind where you have not fully submitted to his authority, give it over to him today. And finally, I want to say this, and with this, we'll be done. If you are a Christian, if you are a Christ follower, it is so very important that we do not get puffed up, that we do not become arrogant, that we never, ever, ever forget that without Christ, we would be lost and we would be dead without Christ. There should never be a day that goes by where we think we're better than anyone else because of our works. There should never be a day that goes by where we act like the Pharisees in hypocrisy. On the outside, everything looks so great and looks so awesome, but on the inside, things are dirty and unclean and we're living in sin. There should never be a day that goes by that that doesn't break our heart and that we aren't striving to live in the grace that he has given us. Don't get puffed up. Don't get arrogant, because that pride is what will ultimately always lead to our downfall. It is the moment when we think we've got it all together that we fall. Inevitably, that is what happens every single time. And so my encouragement to you today is this: live in his amazing grace, but strive every day to put yourself under his leadership, to submit to his authority, and watch how it changes everything. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and we thank you and we praise you that you really do make it so simple, that because you went to the cross for our sin, there is nothing that we have to do. We can't earn it. There is no amount of good works that we can do to make you love us more, to be seen better in the eyes of God and the eyes of our Heavenly Father. No, we get to be seen through your perfection on the cross. That's the amazing truth of the gospel and the amazing truth of grace. But I also pray today, God, that out of that grace would be this heart response, not out of guilt or obligation even, but a heart that desires to submit to your authority because we love you and we want to do what's right and we want to honor you. We submit to you because we know that you have called us to a higher purpose and a higher plan. We submit to your authority because we believe that when we follow you, when we follow your ways, that you're going to make our life better, that you're going to make the world around us better, that you're going to have greater impact through us. And Jesus, I just pray today that would be our heart's desire as the church, as your church, that every day we would strive for that. And so we love you, Jesus. We thank you and praise you for all that you have done for us. We consider it an honor to submit our lives to you. I consider it an honor to submit my life to you under your authority. Thank you for being my leader, Jesus, and for leading so much better than I ever possibly could. Help us each day to lay down our pride. And I pray, God, that life change would happen in every single person who is watching and listening today. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for week 2 of This Changes Everything. We're rooting for you, praying for you this week. I will see you next week for week 3. Have a great week, guys.